Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides or who remains in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So in these verses, that kind of double remain is a remaining in Christ, and then the fruit that comes out of the life of that relationship that should remain. And that's what we're after. We're after those two things. We're after one, just that abiding relationship in Jesus, which in one sense is enough in itself, but you can't abide in the one who has eternal purpose for humankind, for the earth, without something of that purpose going through you. So we have both this remaining, this abiding relationship with him, but also we are a people of purpose, a people of mission, a people of significance here on the earth. And this life flow of the Spirit that Jesus speaks of in John 15, as we remain in him, so we receive from him, and then we begin to represent him. It's the more you receive from Jesus, the more we abide in him. And in one sense, there's that indwelling of the Spirit. There is a given that we have. But I think the remaining is more than that. I think it's a consciousness of that. It's an active awareness of his presence in us. It cultivates something inside of us. And as we remain in him and receive from him, so that we're the likeness of Jesus is born within us. And we begin to represent him, to represent him on the earth. And the result of that, Jesus says, is that we will reproduce. It's kind of like a natural, it's not something we have to make happen. If we remain in him, if we abide in him, if we receive from him, if that likeness of him, that representing of him comes forth in our lives, then it will reproduce fruit. And what we're after is the fruit that remains. If you want to see lives transformed, unless you do a faith in Jesus and knowledge of him, that isn't just some flash in the pan thing, isn't just some short-lived thing, but the people become lifelong, transformed, continually being transformed, disciples of Jesus Christ. But we see his kingdom truly come on the earth in significant ways. And so as we think about our mission, everything does flow out of relationship. That's the key we understand. I think we know that as a church, that we flow out of the relationship with him, out of that place of abiding. But where are we going with this? What is he calling us to in this place? What does that sort of look like? What is our mission? Why are we here in that sense? And we might put up, you know, a number of definitions. This is this, the great commandment, and there's a great commission. So two goes together, we're called to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and strength, with everything we've got, to love others as ourselves. We've also got that great commission to make disciples of all nations. We might also talk in terms of our mission. We can use lots of different phrases. So we might talk in terms of the extending of God's kingdom here on earth, making the good news of Jesus known, the fullness of that good news known, making it accessible and available, understandable and relatable to the people here in White Inch and beyond. So those are just maybe some of the general expressions of our mission. Sometimes we get mission and vision a little bit mixed up. I hope church has talked about things. Our vision is to make Jesus known to our time. That's not a vision, that's a mission. Vision is how you're going to do it. So it's great having mission statements. We're going to see the kingdom of God come here in White Inch, or we're going to make disciples. But how are we going to do that? So we have a great sense of mission. We don't know how we're going to get there, but we're not going to get there. So what is our vision? How are we going to fulfill the mission that God has given to us? And I want to read a verse from Isaiah 58, verse 12. I think I've mentioned this Sunday. This is a verse that the Lord spoke to me one night many, many, many years ago. And it really it came as one of those very rare, and you have to sort of get audible voice of the Spirit of God in the middle of the night. It's usually in the middle of the night, and that's me by. As I get older, I don't have to stop sleeping without the Lord waking up in the middle of the night, but we used to do that quite a lot when I was younger. And I just heard this voice one night, and that's all it said, was Isaiah 58, nothing else. And so I kind of prayed and pondered on this verse, long and hard over many years. And I really just wondered, what are you saying, Lord? What is this about? And I really believe that this is the time where God is stepping up the fulfillment of what this verse is talking about for us here. So Isaiah 58:12, those from among you, and I think that's a really important statement at the beginning, those from among you. And there's been something in our Scottish psyche that we've often looked to those from outside us, as if we don't have what it takes. And we've really, really got to get over that. We've really got to get over that. It doesn't mean we don't receive from people beyond our borders, but it does mean we don't put ourselves in a place where we're always dependent on them. God has given to us, and there is great gifting and gifts and ministries among his people here in this land and here in this church. And we need to recognize those from among us are going to do this. It says, those from among you shall build the old waste places. There's a rebuilding. This was in the time of Israel returning to land and so forth. But for us, God is rebuilding something in these days. And I believe the next three lines are the outworking of that. So it's really telling us it's three things that need to be done. How are we going to rebuild? How are we going to build the old waste places? Number one is, you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. We're raising up the foundations. We're going to come back to that. You shall be called the repairer of the breach. And the breach is the gap. There's something about standing in the gap that speaks of the place of intercession, of intercessory prayer. And that's going to be a number two that we'll come back to. And the restorer of streets to dwell in. Basically, places where people can live and thrive in life, can live under the blessing that God intends for them. So, as we build and as we break through, I believe we need to do these two things. We're building something that just requires sometimes a commitment and sticking in and getting on with it. But we also need to see levels of breakthrough in the Spirit if we're going to see a fulfillment of the greater things of God in our time. And I'm not going to let go of that. I hope you're not either. I'm not going to let go of something with the vision and the stirrings of the Spirit that God has put in me over the years. I'm not going to sit back and say, well, no, that's not for that. We'll try that. I am going to press into these things. No matter how many times I've been discouraged and disappointed over the years, I'm refusing to let disappointment and discouragement rule in my life. I accept these things that come. I'm going to get disappointed again. I support Queen's Park, so I always get disappointed every season. But here's the thing, I'm just not going to let these things have their rule. So we're pressing in for something greater, and we're pressing in for breakthroughs, and for that we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And I've sensed in recent times, there's been just a kind of holding back, a dropping back in terms of really going after things in the Spirit. And I think partly that's because there are some who have fallen into the trap of disappointment. We've seen so much, there have been such stirrings, we've expected so much, but we haven't seen. And we've told myself, well, that's not really working. When Jesus ascended, he said to his disciples, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He did not give any other means for the mission that he was giving them to be fulfilled. He didn't say, well, the power thing might not work, so I'll give you some other really good strategies. You might not be able to walk with this power thing, so I'm going to give you some really, that'd be great buildings and great programs. No, there was one means one me. Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. There is one means. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And if the church does not embrace that power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then we are not going to fulfill the mission that He's called us to. Bottom line, we won't. We can't. No matter what else, no matter what seems to work, we can't base anything on, well, that seems to work there. Jesus said we will receive power. And if we're not flowing in that, if we're not moving in that, we're not going to see what He desires for us to see. And so I believe there's got to be a church that presses in regardless. We press in. Yes, there's other things that are important too. But if we're going to see the mission fulfilled, we've got to press in with a greater outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We've got to be a church that looks to see signs and wonders, not for the sake of them, not for the kind of excitement of them, but because they are means of breakthrough into our society. And so we've got to go after that because Jesus tells us. So these three things that I want to focus on from this verse. The raising up of the age of the foundation. So what we're talking about there, I believe, is fully equipping God's people. This is what we need to be doing. And we are doing it. We continue to do. I heard somebody speaking of a thing a little while back, and kind of critical of the church. We talked about much of the church not being fit for purpose. He said, much of the church is not fit for purpose. Now, that's his statement. But what I take from that is I'm saying that not the church I'm part of. That will not be true of the church where I have any influence. We will be fit for purpose. We will be equipped as people to do the things that God gives us to do. We will be equipped to know how to proclaim the good news of Jesus, how to heal the sick, how to set people free. We will be equipped for this great commission. And we're going to make sure that happens for everyone. That word equipped, we put in brackets, the word equipped, the word that Paul uses in Ephesians 4:12, when he talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Part of the raising up of the age of the foundations has been the re-establishing of the ministries of apostle, prophet, evangelist, alongside pastor, and teacher. The two we seem to like and connect for through the centuries and the other elements. And the purpose, Paul said, for those ministries is to equip God's people. And that word equip is a word with a very, very wide meaning. We focus a lot, I believe, in church in my lifetime on equipping in the sense of teaching. And that's a small part of it. That's a small part of it. But that word equip means to restore. There's a restoring, a healing of the heart in God's people that is necessary. Not just to set us free. You know, we've got to, you know, even the first day you're saved, you've got a testimony of Jesus in your life. And our testimony is of Him, not of ourselves. But if we're going to minister effectively, we need to get that wholeness, that healing of the inner things, so that we can walk with the consistency and integrity in our lives. There's a restoring within that sense of equipment. Makes you whole. There's a refreshing. There's a sense of resourcing that just goes beyond just teaching at a head level, but really fully training people how to walk in the things of God. And there's also a sense of realignment. So what would we do for the realigning of bones that are broken? And there's a realigning that's needed within us so that we can work together well as His body. Again, one of the signs, I think, of frustration among God's people is you find more and more folks just want to go off and do their own thing. There's a frustration that we're not really fulfilling what we're teaching. And God needs to keep realigning His body in our lives so we work together in meaningful and fruitful ways. So we want to fully equip God's people. We'll come back to a little bit of how we're going to do that in a few minutes. Second thing about repairing the breach, repairing that place, that standing in the gap. In the Old Testament, God says, you know, look for a man to stand in the gap, you could find no one. And that was a terrible indictment of the people of God. He looked for someone. He said, just one who'll stand in the gap between heaven and earth. Between the way things are on the earth and the way they could be. He said, just one person to stand there. And he found no one. So he raises up for himself his own son to fulfill that. Jesus is that eternal intercessor. He stands in the gap. But we are called into that ministry of intercession through him. And I don't believe that ministry is for like a few few folk who are into that sort of stuff. It's a ministry of the church. It's a ministry of us all. It's a place that we occupy between heaven and earth. We bring the things of heaven upon the earth. We represent the needs of the earth before the throne of heaven. And what I've put up there on the screen, stewarding an open heaven in prayer and worship. So we've been talking the last number of weeks, tomorrow I'll finish that series on being the house of prayer and worship. And there are many aspects to that, but one key thing is that we need to steward well the open heaven that God has given to us. And when Jesus was baptized, it said the heavens opened. And I don't read in the New Testament anywhere where it said the closed up again. So Jesus opened something. He opened something he has given us access into. And it's up to us to understand what that means and to take hold of that, to apprehend it, and open it wider so we see the influence of heaven break out in our piece of earth. And what I'm envisioning, what I'm longing to see for us here, is just that together we begin to and continue to break open something more in that open heaven over this place. You know, when you think about it, the good news is often good news, isn't it? Did any of you find going to say the good news? This is a good deal. He forgives all my sins. He takes all my garbage and gives me his righteousness in exchange. We go for an exchange that costs me nothing and costs him everything. The good news, the gift of eternal life, it's all good stuff. Why wouldn't people believe? Why is it that about, what would be the percentage of born-again people in Scotland today? 2%. 2%! Why? Because the God of this age blinds the minds of the unbelievers. And the stuff in the heavenly realms that is hindering people from seeing and understanding. I've spoken to people over the years and I think, what on earth is wrong with you? How do you not get this? How do you not see this? But hearts are hardened and the atmosphere around people, the spiritual atmosphere, is contaminated. And as we take our place standing in the gap, we will break through things. We will break through to open up heaven. We want to make White Inch a place where it's easy for people to come to faith in Jesus. We want to make it a place that somebody even passes through begins to kind of realize, you've got in my life. That can be. There are places on the earth, there's a little town in Guatemala where 92% of the people are born again. And it wasn't always that way, but something happened, something shifted, a greater open heaven came over them. And I just think, why not here? Why not here? And we've done some of these things in the past. We've pressed in, tell my goodness, we led prayer for the city for 7 years. But these are only beginnings. We don't stop there. We these are little foundations that we want to build more on. And I believe this is the season where we can break something. One of the greatest barriers to people coming to faith is just the release of occultic things in our society. Don't you see the increase of that? And those are blinding influences for the gospel. You know, when Paul went to Ephesus, and Ephesus is one of our great example churches, Paul goes there, and what does he do? The first thing he does is he finds some folk, and he gets them filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you receive the Spirit when you believe? Well, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to make this journey when we call sin. He gets them filled with the Holy Spirit, and they speak in tongues and prophesy. There's an outworking of the Spirit in their life, an evidence of the Spirit. The second thing he does is he just trains people every day. He spends every afternoon, the siesta time, folk come, and they come from the villages around Ephesus and everywhere, because it says the whole region was impacted. So the people came, Paul trained them, they would see demonstrations of the power of God, they would see people healed, delivered, all sorts of things, and they would go back to where they came from, and the whole of that area was filled. What Christ was doing. But then it moves to a new level, because there's that weird story about a guy, you know, seven guys are trying to cast a spell and he's beaten up and all that stuff. But there's a breaking after that of the occult hold in that city. So it's a city of idol worship. That's what it's based on, the worship of idol worship. And it says that after that, those who had believed came and renounced all their occult rubbish and burned all their magic books and sorcery and all that stuff to a value of millions of pounds. And there's an even greater breakthrough. The word of God spread even greater. And so I believe as we really press through in prayer and standing with God, we can open heaven wider over this area. But we can also break these powers, these strongholds, these disruptors that are not letting the message of the good news of the gospel reach the people. And it doesn't take a great army of us. It just takes a few of us doing this in the power that brings it in the Spirit. And we will see significant growth. The third thing it talks about there is providing dwelling places. Providing places that people dwell. You see, there's no point in being a great equipped church and doing great breakthrough in heaven if we haven't got a place to put to land. And I believe this is a, you know, very different looking thing, but it's so important that as we see people coming to faith, we have a true family to come into. Like, we have that here, but we've got to be complacent. We've got to keep working on that so that we have a place of, we want to see about a family, a home, a place of welcome. Welcome is one of the most significant ministries that we could have. In the one rota that Bishop Cook came up to do is a welcome rota for someone. Because welcome is so important. And in a society where people often, I think, feel isolated and not belonging, deep sense of not belonging to people's lives, welcome is such a powerful thing, such a simple thing, such a powerful thing. So we need to be a family of welcome, a place of healing, a place of shelter, a place of provision for all ages, from the youngest right to the youngest. And so, just on the next slide, these four key things that I believe church is, it needs to be a family, a place of prayer, and a cooking center. And out of that, mission focus, or mission focus. I'm not talking a lot about the things that we do in terms of mission this morning. Talking here about just getting the things in place that will result in the mission we're already doing and more, so more effective. Getting us equipped for that prayer and being that person, to find out true love. So the Acts 19, Ephesians is a great model of that. Acts 15 is all a great model of church, this is what we're not doing. It's the church that worshipped and ministered to the Lord and sent out the mission. We're going to read our past. We're getting really solid bodies. Look at good guys. Powerful men of God. Most churches are not announcing. Give them a praying priest so they stay. You give them away. You let them go. And I think we need that heart of the church. And that goes against something of what I sometimes see in the wider church. But I think we need to go against that. We need to be brave enough to say, we have to give away for the sake of the greater mission of God. We give away, we let people go. Great vision calls for great commitment. But I think we need to understand the difference between great commitment and being overburdened by simple things. There's two weaknesses we could fall into. One is that we don't show commitment to the vision and nothing more than that. The other is that we're overburdened by the size of the task and where we're going. I think we can have great commitment without being overburdened. Great commitment to walk in the Spirit and do what He's telling you to do, to engage what God is calling you to engage. You don't have to do everything. I don't know, some of you pull out a movie, you see things that you don't know. When you see another, I could do that, I could get involved. And I have to pull myself back and say, no, that is not for me to do. Make space for others to do it. And don't be silly and wear yourself out. Learn and see, this is what God is calling me to do in this season. This is where I get engaged. I should think about the group system for human rights. So what is our kind of structure? What does this look like? I very much believe that a church structure needs to be both simple and life-giving. simple and authentic, self-acceptance, we overcomplicate things. And all these conditions can be simple. Anything simple, I just like things to be simple. I like them to be straightforward. I also believe that everything we do should give less. If I see somebody involved in something that's just draining them, then, you know, my advice to me is get out of it. Something like that. Draining is something like that. There's times where we pour ourselves out in the work we're taking. There's times where we get tired. That's okay. But if it's draining, then you get out. What God calls us to do is always life-giving, because we're filled with that life force of His Spirit. And over the next while, this is where I feel we should focus. This Sunday morning, as I keep my time together, and I think we need to keep thinking through, what is a Sunday morning for? Who's it for? Who's it engaging with? How is it engaging? It's a difficult question, because we get all sorts of different folk coming. We get folk walking in who don't yet know the Lord. We get folk that have walked with the Lord for 50 years. It's a place, you know, of great diversity. And we need to keep praying and thinking and working through. What are we really looking to do in the Sunday morning? Because it will be our main shoulder in a sense. We can see the church. We can still think of the church as that. And that's really, really important. The other three things that I feel we should be focused on that while. Number one is the life groups. If we're going to be found, I think, in the small group life group is a really essential thing. And we'd love to see that expand and grow as people in the next session. Well, the two kind of things that I personally think really could come forward is one, this being the house of prayer and worship, what's that going to look like? And also, in terms of cooking, we're going to be running from the end of August, this kingdom mentioned. So, what do these look like? Sunday morning, talk about life groups. The house of prayer and worship, we're going to begin, we're going to begin at the end of this three main sessions. Now, as we've been teaching, house of prayer is something that's in your heart. Okay? Something that grows in our heart. For me, you know, the most important hour of my life is early in the morning when I just go alone with the Lord and His Lord in my prayer. If I don't do that, I feel like I'm so important as a service. And so heart, the house of prayer is something you carry within you. But also, there is great power in corporate expression. Jesus talks about the power of agreement, the power of being able to gather together. There is great power in that. And so we want to give room for that sort of expression. So this is what we're looking at doing. Tuesday mornings, from the end of August, we're going to do week about, 1 week here, and 1 week in the case. So we really want to branch out there. So if it's just Helen and I here on a Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, then it's just Helen and I here at Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. But we'll be here. If you want to come stand with us, join with us, then it's absolutely wonderful. The other Tuesday, the second Tuesday, we're going to be up with Casey. If it's just Alan, Helen and I here, there, then that's fine. And if other folks join us, then it's wonderful too. So we're just going to start building and covering in those ways. Also, on a Thursday, we're looking Thursday morning, around about 11 o'clock, and we'll just do some different models of prayer on the Thursday morning before I have 1 week, and we'll just simply do a soaking thing. I don't know about you, but you know, I just kind of just need to soak in the Lord's presence. And I don't do that anymore, because I just, you know, but if we set a time to do it together, then we'll do it. So we maybe do that once a month, so time just to really do a kind of real galleries, kind of watchmen in the walls, better points of watchmen in the walls, those who hear and see in the Spirit. What's the Spirit showing this church? So we want a time just where we can come and share those things and we can pray into them together. Once a month, we're also in the gallery church leaders from around the city, where we start to invite a number of guys to that. And so first Thursday of the month, we're doing our church leaders here at that time. That's part of our house of prayer. And then Thursday evenings, so every second Thursday evening, from beginning of September, we're doing house of prayer and worship here. And so we love this with this fire, just worship and just see where the Spirit kind of leads us, just praying out of that Spirit of wisdom and revelation, calling forth the things of God here and there. The other thing we're going to establish is the Kingdom Mentor, and that begins on the 30th of August. So it's a couple of weeks away. Let me just go to basic information and the bigger leaflet which tells you if you ask us questions you might have about it. coming of the kingdom mentioned, house of prayer, obviously, you know, so just coming to the kingdom, you don't come for the couple of months, you start coming in November, the things you don't see, you just engage. But with the kingdom mentioned, you have to be there from the start. So if you're not there for the whole thing, you miss out. You've really got to sign up for the whole thing. So what we're looking to do is taking a group of people, doesn't matter how big, meeting every fortnight in Cluckwood office, and Hal and I will just be bringing in the equipment, just seeking to impart to you just what the Lord's given us every year, just what He's taught us, what He's given us, and then just get back to us. And so it's not just the Lord's given us, but the Lord's given us, so if you want to do the kingdom mentoring this year, it'll run from the end of August to the end of May. It'll be second Thursday evening. And also, within that framework, we want to be able to say mentor the people as they were doing the last part of life. We'd also then maybe take some folks who get opportunities for ministry in some other places to just be put places on those occasions and so forth. So if you're interested in the kingdom mentoring, get hold of it. Speak to us, let us know. We need to know people are coming, and it is something we need to make a commitment to that you're going to do that. And so the one sense is this choice, you know, it might be you say, thank you all this time, but that's actually fine, maybe it's not too good. So you might say, hey, I've got lots of time, so I'm going to be part of the life group, and I'm going to do this kind of mountain, and I'm going to be part of this group. You might say, still, I don't know, I'm not going to tell you. But this year I'm going to choose to be kingdom mentoring and not the other group. But this year I'm going to do it, not the other group, and maybe I'll be kingdom mentoring the other group. So you've got to say, what do you see God is saying to us? Where do you see God taking us? And where are you going to get engaged in doing it? And you've got to be deliberate about these things. You've got to make deliberate decisions if you're really going to do something together. So that's really it for us. What I think is really important is that, yeah, we're a local church here, but we don't have a small perimeter, we don't have a small vision. We're part of something so much bigger. One of the greatest joys of Helena's life has been traveling throughout the years and going to other nations and meeting folk who don't even speak a language and come from a totally different culture, and yet just meeting them in 2 minutes knowing that they're just an absolute brother or sister in the Lord. So you've just got that incredible connection with them because Christ is in you and Christ is in them. And we're part of this huge worldwide family. And God is doing incredible things throughout the earth today. And we're going to see incredible things here in White Lynch and Glasgow and Scotland. And we want to also be, you know, we are a church with a wider vision. We want to embrace that more fully and recognize that, you know, the mission that Jesus starts with on by the power of the Spirit begins at home, but it spreads. And it's always going to be at home. And so Alan is doing a lot of work about that, more of that bigger picture. And hopefully we can just see how that all fits together and how we can engage in that. I want us just to give 15 minutes in groups on the slide that should give us questions. So I want us to take about 15 minutes in fairly small groups so that we can have time to speak. We can use the prayer room and just find out if we want to close this. So, it would be great to get into, we probably need more than 5, maybe 4 or 5. And there's just 2 simple questions. Just to take some time to respond just to what I said this morning. What is your understanding of our vision? How do you understand the things I've been talking about? Being an equipping centre, being this house of prayer and worship, being this family, being these things. And in what ways do you think that you would connect into this? How you connect with, I believe every one of you can and need to connect in some way, and all of the different for different people. So how do you see yourself connecting with that? Just share that together in groups. And, you know, if you're stuck and you say, well, I don't get this, or I don't understand this, or I don't think this, or just questions or things, you might like those come up, and maybe somebody can go and share those with you afterwards. So we'll do that for about 15 minutes, and then we're going to have a coffee and tea break before Alan finishes up in. When you're finished with it, if there's stuff that you want to talk about, stuff you want to ask about, then you're going to be here over from lunchtime. I'm going to be here after that as well, so I'm not rushing off anywhere today. I'm quite late for the day, so If you want to talk or ask anything, please do that. One of the really important things is that we communicate well. If you've already said that to us as we've been around visiting with people, that we communicate well. So if something's not being communicated, then ask questions. If you're not clear about something, then ask questions. If there's something you want to say, what about it, then speak to them. Talk to them, talk about these things, and make sure you've got a good understanding. So can we just kind of organize ourselves into sort of four fives, just where we can find space, maybe room for a couple of groups in the prayer room, I don't know. It's just come up for 10 to 11, so probably about 11:05, I'll just say let's break for coffee, tea.